Okay, you know, so our first
guest. Oh, are we starting?
Yeah, we're already.
No, that can't be it. That can't be it.
Why can't that be
No, Moog, you have to be like explaining what it is.
Aw, man, bro.
You have to be like, welcome to Truth or Tale. This is the podcast where we fucking talk about shit and maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But anyways, okay. So I think that you should do the intro, or we should do the intro again.
Okay. Welcome to Truth or Tale.
ASMR podcast. This will just be us making noise.
Nope, not quite. But
for our very first episode, we have Brooke, best friend since freshman year. Of college.
Of college. There's not freshman year of high school, I guess. So.
Yeah, you know, it could have been further back.
Yeah.
She's got a heart of gold.
Aw, and a body to match. Just kidding.
It's funny as hell, as you can tell.
No, stop. That was a good...
Keep it up for Brooke.
Yeah. What's up? Here to hear some stories, here to tell some stories. We'll see. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just be quiet. We'll find out.
It's not going to happen.
How's it going, Mo?
It's good. How's quarantine treating you, treating us? I should face the mic.
I mean, yeah, you look good. it's going okay. I've just been doing, again, as I told you earlier, tons of cooking. Tons of TVing, tons of nitpicking on my quarantine pals, my quarantine, if you will.
Oh, damn.
Lots of, you know, being Agatha Christie over here.
Agatha Christie.
Love nagging. I know. I like my dishes done a certain way.
And your team isn't cutting it.
I hold them to a high standard and they're just not coming through for me.
Oh, I love that.
We'll see. That was my water. Anyways, how are you?
I'm good, you know, making a podcast, making a blog, writing some.
You are, baby.
I hear you have a story for us, or for me. There's no us, I guess. But
ooh, at the top? At the top of the hour?
We have to start it off with your story.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so I will go first. And again, please keep in mind... what the contents parental advisory advised.
Oh, shit.
Not just because of language, really. Nothing else. This is a story that took place in the beginning of my young tweendom.
Okay.
A little bit before I was a tween, actually. I can't remember. But anyways, an important thing to know about my childhood is that my family was connected with a lot of other families. We were very fond of our get-togethers and our hangouts and our barbecues, if you'll say. There was many a block party that was had by my family and these families that I was hanging out with all the time. Anyways, the members of these families were, you know, we had a bunch of annoying boys. We had the nerds, which was like me, and we had our punk girls. We had our punk lady.
Okay.
And she was extremely cool and still is my idol. She dyed her hair when she was like 11. Still the coolest person I ever met.
Okay.
Anyways. So one of these parties, a new element was brought into the mix. This punk girl had a cousin, and naturally I was obsessed with this person. She was the opposite of me, and I just wanted to be her. So of course my to-do list for the day was just to follow her around and do whatever she said. So we ended up getting into an extremely intense game of I don't want to say Simon Says, but it was basically like she would jump over a big rock and then I would jump over the big rock. So
how old are you?
We were I want to say that I was within the range of 8 to 11.
Okay, okay.
So still in it, not like 16. An age where this kind of behavior was appropriate.
Yes.
So we, and I think it was 4th of July, so we had these like awesome sparklers, and this girl was like, let's do some aerial gymnastics. And by that, she obviously meant let's go balance on the ledge of the porch and do cool tricks. And I was like, excellent. And it looked so cool because we had our fucking like sparklers and we were doing aerial gymnastics, aka just like doing twirls. Yeah, doing twirls. And my foot caught the ledge of this, you know, of the edge of the porch that we were on. And I began to fall backward like Christ onto the cross, except instead of a cross, it was a patch of cacti.
Oh, shit.
Cactuses. And so similarly, I picked the Christ metaphor, but I did have a crown of thorns on my whole body. And obviously, rough time. I ended up becoming hysterical and hallucinating that I was taken to the hospital, even though the hospital bed was without a doubt a picnic table, easily.
What?
And so I was basically just laid out like a starfish, having all of these adults that was in the gang of families that I mentioned in the beginning of the story, just picking these thorns out of me. And I just kept being like, I don't want to go into surgery. I don't want to go into surgery. Don't want to go into surgery. Why surgery was the first thing on my mind as like an 8-year-old or whatever. Don't know why I thought I would need surgery. But I was very frightened and I ended up passing out. And when I woke up, no more stickers, no more thorns in your girl.
Oh,
but
my
I
God.
Did have to sit out for the rest of the party, and I got a little popsicle, and I wasn't allowed to play with that girl anymore, which is obviously very sad and the most traumatic part of that experience, naturally, for me as a huge fan of that girl, to be taken from my role model.
Ripped away so suddenly. Okay. That was good. I mean,
Was it?
I feel like I know a lot of stories about you, and this is up your character. This is like, you know, like it's a part of your character. I could see you doing that. It's not throwing me for a loop. But also, why would I have never... I don't know if I've ever heard about you, like, passing out before. I don't know if you're a passer outer. I know a horse kicked you in the head.
Excellent. But- that was the story I was trying to remember if I had told you or not. That was also on my list.
I love that. I don't know why I love that story. It's just crazy to me. But
it's wild.
Did you pass out when that happened to you? I don't even know if you passed out then.
I kind of blacked out.
Okay.
Like, I knew what was going on, but I couldn't see. You know those vibes?
Okay. I think...
Horse hoof to the head will do that to you.
That's true. And it'll scar you to not like horses for a while. Forever, for life.
Yes, but I love them now.
You
I
do?
Love them.
Oh, my God.
Gorgeous creatures. I was on a road trip, and I swear to God, I almost ran us off the road about... 6 times? Because I just wanted to look at the horses.
Stop.
Oklahoma. Used to hate it. Absolutely love it now. Full of horses. I've never seen so many horses in my goddamn life.
Horse girl?
Anyways, continue. You were... Maybe. I wish. I wish I could go back and make myself a horse girl. I feel like I've missed that
time part
in my life. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways.
I'm going to guess that the story is true. Yes.
She got it right.
Yes.
She got it right. Not a very unbelievable story, I will say.
I don't know, but it's still pretty crazy.
Not very hard to believe.
Okay. All right. I have 2 stories for you today.
Woohoo.
2 fucking stories.
I love a good story, baby, you know.
Basically, since we're in quarantine, I've been looking up all of these kind of quarantine stories from like Reddit and like Tumblr and like obviously more official sites than Reddit and Tumblr, mm-hmm. you know. But it kind of turned into from like quarantine stories into like stories of captivity. So that's our theme for today.
Oh, I guess the scary theme song was fitting.
Yeah, true crime.
Gross. Oh, okay.
So, you know, if there are trigger warnings, I'll be like, trigger warning. And you can like plug your ears if you want, you know, it's totally fine.
Then I won't have all the details of the story.
I just, you know, if it's too much for you to listen to, you can, it's okay. You can still guess based on most of the stuff.
Don't do trigger warnings throughout it. Just do it.
Just do it?
Just give me the goods.
Damn. Okay, I'll give you the goods. Ooh, wait. Okay, so this story was a pretty popular case in the 80s. So listen closely.
So everything you're saying right now could be false. It could not have been a case at all.
Could, but it also
but
could
it
be
could
true.
Not have also, but also it could be false.
That's very true. It could be true or false.
All right, here we go.
Also, you can't look up anything on the internet because that's cheating.
Oh my god, I told you I wasn't gonna move.
Okay. Don't even breathe.
I won't breathe either. I'll die.
Okay, so the case I found, I obviously kind of wrote it out to be more of a script, but here's what the case I found said. On March 16th, 1984, 32-year-old Grace Ronson woke up to the sound of her dog barking at the front door. When she heard the door open and the dog quiet, she figured her husband, Jerry, had come home after a long day at work and thought nothing of it. So she went back to bed that night, only to wake up in the morning to a still empty bed. Grace reported that she was curious and went to check on him, only to find that her door was locked from the outside. Dun, dun, dun. Despite her best efforts to open the door, it wouldn't budge, and she called on her husband to let her out.
Bad vibes. What's her name? Grace? Poor Grace. Break a window, girl. Get out of there.
Someone answered Grace's call. However, it wasn't her husband. The man who opened her bedroom door was not Jerry, but instead Ben Drucker, a fellow coworker of her husband's. He told her...
He was probably just fixing the pipes, right? He was just doing her a favor. Yeah.
Ben just fixing the pipes. That's what he does all the time, you know? Just a family man.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm so glad.
Unfortunately, he told her he'd killed her husband and had, and had killed the dog, but he wouldn't kill her if she played along.
There was literally a Criminal Minds episode that was exactly like this. I want to die.
Oh, no. All in all, Grace reported that she had been held captive in her home for 2 full weeks. She reported that Ben would force her to recreate scenes of domestic life with him, cooking, cleaning, eating, and even sleeping together as a family. When family members called asking where she and Jerry were, Ben would threaten Grace with a gun to keep her quiet, and she'd sit and listen to him explain that the Ronsons had gone away and he was looking after the house for a while. All right. I wanna gauge your feeling at this point. What are we feeling? True, false? Like, what's going through your head?
I don't know, dude. Men be crazy. Men be doing crazy shit all the time.
They really
men be like,
do.
I love forcing women to do things.
Honestly, that should be the theme. Just men be crazy.
All right. I don't know, man. I'm feeling like I know I shouldn't. We'll see.
We'll see.
Who would kill a dog? That's my thing.
Right?
Who would kill a dog? Why not just let it out?
And let it go?
Just let it go run away.
And yap.
That's what they did in Criminal Minds.
Okay, but did the dog come back at the end of the episode? And
why didn't they just keep the dog?
Like, the dog's a dead giveaway, you know?
I guess so. All right, continue.
On March 30th, 1984, Mary Thomas, a neighbor of the Ronsons, reported having heard cries from her neighbors next door. She sent her 8-year-old son, Tim, to the Ronsons to ask Ben if he'd like them to look after the dog, as this was something the Thomases did every time the Ronsons went out of town. Tim reported that Ben was kind. He'd invited him inside, gave him snacks, and let him use the restroom, but ultimately had passed on the offer. The only strange thing the 8-year-old reported was that he thought he could hear the dog crying inside one of the rooms. Once Tim returned home, Mary called the police and told them she hadn't heard from the Ronsons in weeks. She also told them of what she and her son had heard. The next day, police put out a search warrant for Jerry and Grace Ronson. When they'd finally got the warrant to search the house, they caught Ben and found Grace tied and unconscious in the living room. The whimpering sounds Tim had mistaken for the dog had in fact been Grace. After a 3-week trial,
The dog got,
which is the worst part, honestly. I mean, that's not the worst part,
not
but like
the worst part.
It just really sucks. So after a 3-week trial, Ben Drucker pleaded guilty on all counts and was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Grace, on the other hand, had made a remarkable recovery despite everything that happened to her, and thanks to Tim and Mary in her book, The Nosy Neighbor, for saving her.
Aww.
Okay.
That's so sad.
I feel like I should have like some music for guessing time. Like,
I think it's true.
All right, we're locking in the true answer.
Yeah.
Insert sound effect. It was false.
Oh, thank God. Oh, my God. Thank God. Oh, my God. That was so scary.
It was pretty disturbing.
Where did you come up with that?
My freaking brain, man.
Are you for real?
I'm so serious.
You're fucked up, Mo. Why did you kill the dog?
I was like, what's going to get Brooke the most?
I'm so upset.
And I knew it would be the dog.
Cut. I'm mad.
Timeout.
About the dog? Oh, all right.
But it's, you know, the dog didn't actually die. It's fake. So it's good. It's good.
I know.
It's fine.
All right. Well, 0 out of 10 stars. Would not listen to that story again.
Oh, my God. Well, that's okay. I have another one for you. A different one. So this next story I have for you took place in Austria. On April 19th, 2008, Kirsten Fritzl fell unconscious and was brought to a hospital. Flitting in and out of consciousness in the back of an ambulance, this would be the first time Kirsten had seen the outside world in all 24 years of her life. Which is crazy because that is older than us. Imagine never seeing the light of day. She was...
Bad. Hey, bad.
Sorry.
That would be bad.
That would be very bad.
I would not enjoy that at all.
No. Very true. Same.
My eyes would probably be fucked up. Anyways, even more than they already are. Okay, continue. Kirsten Pritzel.
She was in serious condition and experiencing life-threatening kidney failure. But a healthy 24-year-old experiencing kidney failure wasn't the strangest part about her situation. Kirsten's grandfather, Joseph, came to the hospital with a note from her mother, Elizabeth Fritzel. Elizabeth had disappeared and joined a cult 24 years ago. So aside from a few letters delivered by Fritzl, no one had heard anything from Elizabeth for years until this moment. The police were immediately suspicious and called for Elizabeth to come forth and provide more medical facts about her daughter. So like, we're gonna hit a freeze frame and you know that like, go back in time.
Uh-oh.
We're going back in time. Here we go. To a young Elizabeth Fritzl at the age of 18. So, freeze frame. Go back in time. We land on Elizabeth, 18 years old, August 28th. Oh, wait. What the hell? Oh, yeah. August 28th, 1984. Young Elizabeth is helping her father attach a door to its hinges in their downstairs basement. She sounds like a good kid, you know, helping her dear old father. But unfortunately her father was not a good kid, person, man, being, or any of those things. And he held an ether-soaked towel to her face until she was unconscious. Afterwards, he threw her into the basement and locked her inside with the very door she'd helped put up. Dun, dun, dun. No. Her mother...
No!
it's the theme. The theme is captivity, quarantine. I don't even know.
I hate it.
Her mother, Rosemarie, filed a missing persons report as this wasn't the first time Elizabeth had gone missing. When she was 15, she ran away and went into hiding with a friend from work. That time, she was found 3 weeks later and returned to her parents. But this time, it was different. No one heard anything from Elizabeth for a month, and later, her dad, Joseph, gave a letter to the police from her stating that she was tired of living with her family and was staying with a friend. She told her parents not to look for her or she'd leave the country, and Fritzl told the police she had most likely joined a religious cult. Dun, dun, dun.
All
right, we're going to pause for a little guessing break. What are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling... But I hope it's not real, because that name is Buck Wild. Fritzl? Do you know the name of that school bus? Miss Frizzle?
Miss Frizzle?
It's pretty close. It's pretty close.
I mean, it took place in Austria. I don't actually
know.
Miss Frizzle. That was a good show.
I really thought... I feel like I'm more thinking strategically now, and I'm like, could she do two false stories in one?
I knew you were going to start thinking
that. Yes.
Of course.
But we'll see. We'll see.
All right.
I'm in. Let's go.
I'll chug on. Over the next 24 years... Joseph visited Elizabeth in the basement a minimum of 3 times a week and sometimes almost every day, occasionally bringing food and supplies. In this time alone, he repeatedly raped her, and Elizabeth ended up giving birth to 7 of his children. Sorry, look at your face. Yeah, it's very disturbing. One of the kids died after birth, 3 years removed from the cellar, to live life with Joseph and his wife, Rosemarie, above ground. They would become the kids' approved foster parents, and social workers would even come by to check on the family and never suspected that Elizabeth and her 3 other children were living downstairs. Their space had a television, radio, and a video cassette player. They had a fridge and a hot plate to cook food. They also had a toilet, a sink, and 2 sleeping areas, each with 2 beds. To get to the space where Elizabeth and the kids stayed, one would have to unlock 8 different doors, 2 of which were secured by electronic locking devices. It's reported that Joseph would turn off their lights, refuse to deliver food for days to punishment, and told the kids that they would be gassed if they tried to escape and that they would receive an electric shock if they messed with the door. Okay, this is like also a trigger warning. I don't know. No one told me, you told me not to say that, but like someone's going to need a trigger warning for this. Sorry, I'll look away from your face. Joseph would force Elizabeth to watch pornographic videos, which he made her reenact with him in front of the children to humiliate her. Despite all of this, though, Elizabeth still taught the children to read and write. Okay, now we're gonna back to 2008. Joseph released Elizabeth and her 2 sons so they could see Kirsten at the hospital. Police caught word, and only after promising Elizabeth she'd never have to go back to him did she finally begin to tell the police all that had happened to her.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's enough of the torture.
Oh my god.
Brutal. Brutal.
I hate it.
How did you listen to Case File stuff?
I was in a weird place.
Oh, really?
You do weird things when you're under the heel of a corporate monster.
That's so true. It's true. You just need stuff to do while you're bored.
Yeah, dude. Ugh. Anyways, that was so horrible. I would hope it couldn't have come out of your brain mind. So I'm thinking it's true, but I'm hoping for the opposite.
You're hoping that it's not. Oh, you're hoping it's not true because it's too crazy, but you don't want it to come out of my brain.
Well, no, it's just so horrible.
It is.
It's crazy. It happens.
I think it's terrible. And you're right. It's true. Which is crazier. It's like based off of the. Have you ever seen Room? Yeah, like that movie was like roughly based off of the story. And I was like, oh shit. Dude,
that's brutal. I hope they got paid.
I don't know if they did. But like.
For their fucking life rights.
Oh, yeah, for that movie? I hope so too, but I doubt it. I have no idea. Maybe I have no idea. But the Joseph guy, he went to prison for life. And it's crazy though because he like said, let's see. So apparently Elizabeth was actually at his trial, like in disguise, and like made eye contact with him. And when she made eye contact with him, he like broke down and pleaded guilty to everything, which like still fuck him. But like, damn, like what a, you know, what a bomb ass bitch. She like showed up to the court room and everything and looked him in the eyes. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. That's horrible.
Thank you so much.
Great stuff.
I'll edit it.
See you next time.
Yeah, see you next time on Truth or Tale.